Welcome back. Hour number two of Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mike Pritchard with you from Las Vegas, Nevada. Josh Applebaum with you as well from Boston. And we also have Andy McNeil, VSiN hockey analyst, joins the program. Andy, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you guys doing?
Awesome. I want to get your thoughts on the game, obviously, tonight. We got a great series going on between Dallas and Tampa Bay. Status of Stamkos, have you heard anything of that situation?
You know, I have heard a little bit, nothing official yet, and I don't expect we will hear anything until the teams take the ice for warm-ups about a half hour before puck drop. But, you know, there has been some video surfaced that has surfaced today from the Lightning skate. And it actually showed a group of extra skaters or the so-called healthy scratches working with one of the associate coaches. And Stamkos previously, he was, you know, taking part in those extra skater sessions. He was not part of that today. So that kind of, you know, leads me to think that he will play in tonight's game. But obviously nothing official yet. So just a hunch.
Andy, it's great to have you on. I always love talking hockey with you. And I just, you know, talking about tonight's game, obviously, you know, we got the series tied 1-1, and the way this line is looking, it's pretty similar to these other games where really Tampa Bay is the favorite around minus 155. Open around minus 150. I think I read your article in the Visa newsletter. I thought it was great talking about how Stamkos going in, I think for the average bettor is a massive thing, but it may actually be a little bit of an overvalued injury alert there. But I wanted to ask you, you know, Dallas to me is intriguing. You're getting plus money with Dallas. They've been very resilient throughout the playoffs coming off a loss. I think they're 4-1 in the playoffs coming off a loss, something like that. They're also the designated home team. They get the last change here. So what are you thinking? Is this a situation where, you know, if you still keep getting these plus 135, plus 140 numbers for Dallas, it's hard to pass up? Or do you think the Lightning really got their mojo going here and they're worthy of laying that number?
Yeah, for me, I mean, it's I think that this series is priced pretty correctly, or the games are priced pretty correctly. Sorry. You know, I think this game should be favor or minus 140 in favor of the Tampa Bay Lightning roughly. So obviously, you know, it's getting close to where to the point where there's some value on the Dallas Stars. But for me, I think that obviously Dallas should be the underdog here. And it all depends on, you know, I guess where you're handicapping from. Are you putting any stock into, you know, the long-term history of these two teams, or are you just handicapping from the last, you know, couple of months here? Are you throwing everything else out the window? If it's the latter, then yeah, I guess you could, you know, make a case for the Dallas Stars more so at these prices. But you know, if it's the former, I think you're looking at the minus 140, minus 150 prices in these games. Obviously, that's assuming that Stamkos isn't in the lineup. But no, I'm not looking to back the Dallas Stars unless it gets, you know, to a point where it's outrageous. And I think we could see that because it was getting, you know, a little out of hand there in game number two. The Lightning, you know, at some points were up to minus 175 at some places. So I think if Stamkos were in, you know, you could see a huge overreaction and see the Dallas Stars pushed up, you know, really high to the point where you'd have to play them. But right now it's just a sit out for me. If Stamkos is in, I think bettors should avoid, you know, unless they're looking to play the Dallas Stars at a peak price, I think they should avoid, you know, running to the Tampa Bay Lightning money line and backing them at, you know, an inflated price, and just go right to the series price, because at minus 200, I don't think that reflects Stamkos being in this series at all. So that's where I would go if he's in the lineup tonight.
Andy, when you look at the series, you look at the developments between the first two games too. Tampa Bay in game two got out to that early lead. Dallas was able to battle back to maybe Tampa Bay taking advantage of the style of play from Dallas and using that against them. But certainly the ability to start for the Stars to battle back, though, when you dive deeper into the series and the pricing that's available right there, pretty intriguing from my point of view.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess if you're talking about that kind of handicap from a battling back standpoint, I actually did take a flyer on Lightning forward Andre Palat to score the first goal at about 12-1. That has moved down to about 10-1. But I think if you look around, you could still get him at 12-1. So, you know, with that in mind, if you're thinking that, you know, Tampa Bay is the better team and they'll likely score first, well, I mean, you do have to like Dallas's ability to battle back in these games. They've shown it all playoff long.
Andy, I wanted to ask you just in terms of prop betting in hockey in general. I think it really doesn't get a lot of talk in the mainstream betting industry. And, you know, like pros like yourself, I think you find a lot of value in these prop bets. And you wrote in the newsletter today about Andre Palat taking the over 2.5 shots on goal. I read your article the other day and it was great with Victor Hedman. Everyone on the Market Insights podcast cashed with the Hedman over 2.5. So appreciate that. But can you just talk to how you approach prop bets, kind of what an underserved market that it is, how you attack them, and why you like that Palat over 2.5 shots on goal tonight?
Well, you know, it's a little bit tougher in hockey, and as far as getting people interested too, I don't think there's a lot of change. I think you're going to see the same line, especially in a playoff series where it's the same two teams. You're going to see Victor Hedman over 2.5 shots on goal. It's going to be priced the same way in every game, pretty much. There's not going to be much change there. And you don't see a lot of differences depending on, you know, it's harder to kind of, you know, account for the differences in defenses. Like it might be a little bit easier to do that in a sport like football, where you can actually look at the yardage and things like that and really get a feel for, you know, how an offense should match up against a defense. But hockey is so fluid. Everything, the possessions and score, everything's so discreet. It's really hard to, you know, nail that kind of stuff down. But for me, I have my kind of soft projections every night, and then it's about, you know, looking at the game situations. And, you know, for tonight's game, I'm looking at laying -125 on Andre Palat to go over the 2.5 shot total, because I think it's, you know, a perfect opportunity for him, like we've seen in other playoff series, to get looks that he wouldn't normally get. This guy is a shot generator. He generates just as many shots almost as a guy like Nikita Kucherov. And where Dallas is the designated home team tonight, they're going to be able to match up their better defensive forwards against Kucherov and Point. And that's going to leave Palat open. So, you know, that's where I slide in and try to back him in a situation like this.
Andy, I love hockey, and certainly I got a chance to watch hockey up close when I was out in Denver, and haven't got a chance to watch a Knights game yet, but chomping at the bit there next year, certainly. When you consider the Stars style of play and then Tampa, the Stars have faced two multi-talented teams. When you think about the Avs and the Star and the Knights, and now they're facing Tampa Bay. When you watch and see this series developing, the adjustments that possibly could be made by Dallas as a series proceeds here.
Well, yeah, I think you did see them make adjustments, especially against Vegas, where I think they hung on a little bit more in the Colorado series. I think in the Vegas series, they really did make some really good adjustments. And in those final three games, they were playing, you know, roughly break-even hockey, which is pretty good when you're a big underdog. But, you know, I think Tampa Bay, it's the skill factor here. As good as Vegas is, as good as guys like Pacioretty and Mark Stone are, they don't have that high-end offensive skill that guys like Point and Kucherov and even, you know, Stamkos, if he comes back into the lineup, have. And that's really what puts Vegas over the top here compared to a team like the Vegas Golden, or puts Tampa over the top, sorry, compared to a team like the Vegas Golden Knights. So it'll be a little bit tougher to make those adjustments. But I do think you have to, you know, you have to wonder what Rick Bowness will be able to do here. He did coach the Tampa Bay Lightning from 2013 all the way up to 2018. He was a part of John Cooper's staff. So, I mean, he's probably got some ideas on how to stop this Lightning team that he'll probably, you know, give to his team tonight. So,
Andy, I wanted to ask you one last question talking about the total tonight. So, you know, we've seen these first two games, a 4-1 win by the Stars in game one, a 3-2 win by Tampa Bay bouncing back in the second game. The funny thing is, yeah, I remember they had that offsides that they called back. That would have been a 4-2. That would have cashed anyone who had the over in that last game there. But looking at tonight, same sort of thing. We have a total of 5. We're walking that tightrope here where the 5 is really juiced up to around minus 130, even minus 135 at some shops. You know, I think that's obviously juiced up for a reason. You know, it is intriguing that the under, if you do get a low scoring game, you can get some plus money on this under. But what's your take on the total in general? I mean, the Stars are known as a clamped down defensive team. Lightning, similar, but also, you know, a big threat to score a bunch of goals. Any lean either way on the total? And also, you know, how do you approach these numbers when you're on a total right at 5?
All right. So the first thing, I'm glad you brought up the total. I probably would have glossed over that and forgot to talk about it. So thanks for bringing that up. It's you know, this is a great example of you know, the Stanley Cup final and it's like when it comes to officiating and how it impacts the betting line, because the referees aren't going to call anything unless it's like blatant. You have to shoot that puck over the glass out of your own zone for a delay of game. You have to high stick somebody in the face or like a blatant trip, you know, that negates an offensive chance, something that they absolutely have to call. You're not going to see any soft calls. The bookmakers know this, the market knows this. So, you know, right away there, you're taking away from the scoring, the average scoring that we would see in a typical NHL game, because there is going to be less penalties calls in all likelihood. But for me, I've got this one basically, you know, kind of like a 3-2 game each and every time out here, that, you know, does, as far as my price for the total, I do shade it towards the over because of that skill factor. But I'm just still looking for that big blow up here, whether it's, you know, a huge offensive showing from both teams where the game soars over the total, or, you know, a goaltender battle where it ends, you know, 1-0 or something like that. And then I'll try to jump in on the total, you know, due to some kind of overreaction, because I think it's priced pretty accurately right now. And I don't think I see any value on betting over or under here.
We got an awesome Stanley Cup Finals. Andy McNeil, VSiN hockey analyst, joins Betting Across America. Thanks you for your time today. Enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah, I will. And you guys enjoy it too. Hope to talk to you again. But if not, enjoy the rest of the football season. And I'll talk to you next season.
Absolutely. Look forward to that. Andy McNeil, VSiN hockey analyst. Just great insight right there, Josh.
Yeah, Andy's great, and really, you know, I think it's just been a great contribution getting Andy to you know, contribute to VSiN, and really, you know, another reason to sign up for our newsletter. You can get it for free, VSiN.com/newsletter. Andy's got a breakdown for every single game, and I always love reading his stuff because you talk about a subject matter expert. Andy's fantastic at the NHL, so I always love having him on, and I always learn something when we talk to Andy. So makes me feel better about capping tonight's game after talking to Andy.
Yeah, look forward to that too. Let's dive in real quick because I know. We have you on the show tonight or today, and certainly we got Thursday Night Football coming up right around the corner tomorrow. Quick look at that game, Miami and Jacksonville, when you look at these lines currently right now, Josh.
Yes, we're getting close here tomorrow for another Thursday night game. And you got to remember right off the bat, when you talk about Thursday nights, you have to say it every time. It's an edge to home teams, and it's an edge to home favorites specifically. Obviously, both these teams are from Florida, so it's not really a travel big thing on a short week per se. So maybe that's mitigated a little bit here. But we did see a move to the Jaguars. You know, Dolphins 0-2 straight up. They're 1-1 against the spread. Jags 1-1, but they've covered both numbers. And we have seen this line move, you know, when it opened, it was around Jacksonville -2.5. I think a lot of sharps jumped on the Jags at 2.5, where, you know, obviously a 3-point win, they're able to cover that number. So the line has been moving toward Jacksonville. To me, it's right on that 3. And does it go back down? I don't really think it goes to 3.5 at this point. But if anything, I'd be leaning a little bit to the Jags if you can get below the 3 off that key number. And also, the over's taken a ton of money here, Pritch. You know, it opened at around 44, you know, 45-ish. It's all the way up to 48. Obviously, we've seen, you know, overs perform very well, kind of uncharacteristically throughout the beginning of the season, around 60% to the over. But it's been notable to me that line is rising. You do have Brad Allen. Historically, he favors a little bit the home teams, which that would benefit the Jags. So to me, the Jags, ideally before the three, is kind of the smart money that I'm seeing. But how do you cap this game, Pritch? Any reason to, I mean, the Jags, they're supposed to tank. Well, they didn't get the memo. They're fighting hard. What do you think of this game here tomorrow night?
The Jags are trying to hold on to jobs. You know, there's nothing guaranteed out there, even for Marone. I mean, I think from the head coaching standpoint, he saw one of his good friends get fired and Coughlin. So I think the Jags are just trying to perform right now. Now, the league will catch up to them, certainly. But they have some talent, a little bit of talent. I mean, everybody's talented in the National Football League. I like this matchup from this standpoint. You got the beard versus the stash, right? I mean, some swag here from the quarterback perspective. So therefore, maybe the smart money is realizing that and looking at that over. You know, both offenses are going to let it fly. You think it's going to pretty much be an open playbook for both offenses on Thursday night, and a chance for the Jags and Miami to kind of showcase who they are all about on national TV.
I agree with you there. And I think, you know, until we see kind of this regression take place, you're operating on the premise of still early in the season, these overs continuing to do well. You know, yeah. You worry that the odds makers know this. They've been getting hit by a lot of overs, so maybe they're shading it a little high to begin with. But still, they've risen it, you know, 3 points, almost 4 points off the opener. That's a pretty big move in general. It's going to be good weather. You know, I always got to look in Florida.
Right.
You can have tumultuous weather, you know, unexpectedly. But I'm looking at around, you know, high 70s. Partly cloudy, a little bit of an over ref as well. So the over, again, it's a little chalky, Pritch. Yeah. Always scares me, but taking in some smart money as well.
Okay, keep an eye on that for us there, Josh. Thursday Night Football right around the corner. Looking forward to the matchup. Also looking forward to Major League Baseball. Just a handful of games left. Who's going to grab those last playoff spots? That's coming up next. Time for you to get into Quick Picks. Play the daily sports parlay game with the highest limits and the biggest payouts every week of the NFL season. Quick Picks keeps it simple with daily matchups and over-unders of the best players from all your favorite teams. Not living in a state with legal mobile sports betting for you to play? No problem. Quick Picks offers legal parlay action in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and Illinois. VSiN users can sign up for Quick Picks now and get 100% free deposit bonus up to $100 and use PayPal so you can be confident that it is secure and legal. Legal for residents in 28 states, must be 21 years or older. Go to quickpicks.com/VSiN bonus to find out more. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. Josh, Major League Baseball, we saw some teams kind of give it up. Philadelphia Phillies won, naming them, giving it up, losing two straight right there in a doubleheader to Washington. Down the home stretch here in Major League Baseball, just a handful of games left.
Yeah, just a handful of games left. It's funny you mentioned the Phillies yesterday, and we did see the Nats playing spoiler here. Mm-hmm. Remember, in those doubleheaders, more sweeps than splits. Game two favorites do well. We saw that trend come through yesterday with Washington sweeping. We look at the odds here. World Series odds, got a bunch of long shots. You know, none really jump out to me. I mean, the Jays get hot. I like the additions they made. You're buying low on the Astros, but they've lost a lot of their starting pitching. The Phillies, to me, you know, it's funny. I don't really like them to win the World Series, but I actually like them today. I'm looking at this line here at Washington. It's a 6 o'clock game Eastern time. You've seen the Phillies open around -125. They're up to around -150-ish. That line's rising, even though it's kind of a 50-50 type game. I did see Trey Turner is scratched for Washington. Definitely benefits the Phillies. They're in a desperate spot. And you also have Joe West behind the plate. Joe West, Cowboy Joe, is pretty notorious here to road teams in general. So I think that would benefit the Phillies. So that's just one game I'm looking at today. But yeah, with that list there, Pritch, you're really hoping for a big upset there. So I don't know if really any of those intrigue me, to be honest.
Well, those odds that we had up that graphic in terms of maybe long shot odds or certainly an angle, when you consider those teams are still chasing a playoff spot. and unsettled there. So you wonder, you're clearly taking a flyer. You don't come across as a guy that takes a flyer. I mean, you really follow the market and you have these insights. But if you did take a flyer there, out of those teams, you know, when you think about this, teams trying to get hot as they get an approach to playoffs, anything that, okay, not standing out that you would play, certainly, but certainly something that captures your attention.
Yeah, the Marlins are a little intriguing to me just from the standpoint of no one expected them to be any good anyway, and they've battled, and they're getting close here toward a playoff spot, especially with their young arm, Sixto Sanchez, and if they can get some decent pitching, maybe they catch fire here. I would look toward an American League team, to be honest with you. I don't know if anyone's going to get through the Dodgers or the Padres out west, so or in the National League. So I'd look to maybe to an American League team. I mean, again, the Jays intrigue me a little bit just because they do have a little bit of pitch. And if they and if their bats in that lineup can stay healthy and really pace them and really kind of catapult them, maybe the Jays would be an intriguing spot to me. The Astros 16-1. I mean, you are buying low in that spot, but we joke all the time, Pritch, when they don't have the trash can telling them which pitch is coming, we can see that they're not the team that they have been the past few years.
I know they're trying to get into the playoffs, and you think about Major League Baseball, how they expanded the playoffs too, and trying to make it easier. It's certainly been more exciting. I think this sprint, the 60-game sprint, has been spectacular. But you have all these teams, a handful of teams that haven't even qualified for the playoffs. I just find that very, very interesting. And then some popular teams. You mentioned the Marlins. I laugh at them because they almost wrecked the entire season when the season first started, when they were in Atlanta going out for coffee. And here they have a chance to qualify for the playoffs, and clearly a long shot at 35-1, like you mentioned.
Yeah, huge long shot. And obviously, Jeter finally made a move to add to the team. Mm-hmm. They did get Marte, which, Starling Marte from Arizona, which is definitely a benefit and solidifies their lineup a little bit. I think the other thing you're looking at with these long shots here, knowing the fact that you don't particularly need these teams to win the World Series. I mean, obviously you'd want to cash this big ticket, but you need them to get far enough in order for you to create a hedging opportunity. So maybe the Marlins, win that first series and they advance, and then you get into a situation where, okay, they're in the Elite Eight or the Final Four, that sort of thing. So I think keep that in mind. As a bettor, you obviously want to cash one of these huge tickets, but also creating hedging opportunities late where, you can kind of guarantee yourself a profit. That's another thing to keep in mind here.
Absolutely, Josh. We're looking for long shots today. Interesting betting angles as well. We're going to get back into the National Football League. Some surprising quarterback play that could lead to some betting angles and some long shots that people might want to take a look at when Josh and I continue the program. Betting Across America continues right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Confident are you betting on this weekend's football games? There's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSIN is here to help you bet smarter this weekend. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll receive Point Spread Weekly, which is our digital betting guide with power ratings and picks from our experts. 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSIN shows. The College Football Betting Guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies. Daily emails with best bets from all of our shows, hosts, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on vsin.com. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard with you, Josh Applebaum with you as well. Josh, we're on long shots, and we're going back into the National Football League, long shots from Major League Baseball. Now we're in the National Football League with long shots at quarterback. You think about Josh Allen and the start that he has had with the addition of Stephon Diggs. Certainly, this guy is on fire right now. Surpassing 700 yards and in some pretty good company when it comes to people that are in a high regard and typically people that are bet on for MVP.
Yeah, totally, Pritch. And again, Josh Allen, you remember, he was drafted high out of Wyoming, and he kind of fit the personality of, Bills Mafia perfectly in a cold weather spot, bad weather place, tough guy, can run, that kind of thing. And he's definitely making some strides here. Again, his accuracy is something he needs to work on. But through two games, he's looked great. Numbers have been fantastic. He's now tied with Tom Brady, both 25-1 to win the MVP here. So I don't hate that at all if he continues to. I think to me, it's more of a Kyler Murray type race for the MVP. I think, also looking at a couple other quarterbacks across the league, obviously a quarterback award in general. But when talking about Josh Allen, I go to this week's game, and we talked about it, Pritch. Mm-hmm. This is a good spot here. I think if you want to buy low on Buffalo, where the Bills open -3 at home against the Rams. We talked about the Rams playing great, but also beating kind of somewhat lowly opponents here in retrospect. Now down to 2.5. Public is all over the Rams. So I think you're buying low on Buffalo -2.5 in this spot. But I agree with you, Pritch. Josh Allen, to me, does he win MVP? Probably not. But 25-1, long shot worth looking at.
It is. His story, I don't know if you know the story of Josh Allen, but it's not mentioned enough. I think it will be if he keeps this up. Josh Allen was not heavily recruited coming out of high school. He sent out letters to Division I schools. Wyoming was the only school that took a shot at him. From a Division I standpoint, I had some people that went up to his pro day up at Wyoming, and the guy has a cannon. John Elway was interested in him at one point. The only thing, like you mentioned, was his accuracy, but accuracy can be learned. Brett Favre wasn't the most accurate quarterback when he first started, but learned it. And a lot of quarterbacks actually learn how to be more accurate throwing the football or passing the football. I think the upside for Josh Allen is tremendous, and that's why Buffalo went out and grabbed him. So you're risking falling apart because the guy was still a work in progress, but the upside was tremendous, and I think that's what attracted a lot of people to Josh Allen.
I'm right there with you. And, the other name I was looking at was Russell Wilson. I was saying it's Kyler Murray or someone else. And of course I have a brain freeze on Russell Wilson, which is funny, but no, I'm with you on Josh Allen. It kind of goes to show you too, it's tough to be a rookie quarterback. And now he's had a couple years in the league. I think he's getting acclimated to that system, feeling better in it. And also look at the situation of bringing in a number one wide receiver, like right. Stephon Diggs. How much better does Josh Allen look now that he's got, a premier top flight wide receiver. And you go back to that playoff game against the Texans last year, remember they were Allen played maybe the best first half you're ever going to see, and then he's making some bad decisions. To me, decision making and accuracy, that's like, if he can button those up a little bit, I think the Bills are onto something there up in Western New York.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then also Cam Newton, how about this for a long shot to win MVP?
Yeah, Cam, it's funny. I did know a couple of buddies of mine. I think Cam was 50-1, 60-1. Very, you've seen a massive move here. He's now 22-1. But I think there's a story building with Cam Newton here. And, I'm a Patriots fan, I got to admit. I had them with the points, and they didn't cover for me in Seattle, unfortunately, at the goal line. They get stuffed there. But I think people who watch the Patriots, I think you, even with that loss, are feeling so much better about this team this year, because Cam Newton, you knew he could run. You knew he was big and athletic. But I don't know if they worked on his mechanics or what, but he's hitting some great throws. He's making his receivers look good. He finally threw to N'Keal Harry. Brady never looked in N'Keal Harry's direction, and Cam's really making these receivers look good. So it just goes to show you, kind of embracing the culture of do your job New England, I think, is benefiting Newton. And if they do well, remember, we didn't know what to expect from the Patriots without Brady. 1-1 so far. If they can make a playoff spot with Cam, I think that solidifies his case.
Yeah, he's opening up eyes. Shannon Sharp, who was my teammate in Denver. I guess I was his teammate, however you want to put it. you know, on his show, Undisputed, he talked about how Cam has afforded an opportunity for Edelman to have a season, certainly a spectacular season. You think about with Tom Brady, Edelman never had a game like he had with Cam against Seattle, which is impressive. I mean, I think people are looking twice at Cam Newton up in New England.
Totally agree. And remember with Edelman, I think that was his career high in receiving yards, like 179 in that game. Yeah. And they asked Cam, you know, why'd you throw to Jules so much? And he said, because he's Julian Edelman. And that's pretty much all you need to know. But yeah, I think what the Patriots wanted, and again, Brady, the greatest of all time, the GOAT. I mean, no one will ever touch Brady. But yeah, reading a lot in New England, it was kind of like, okay, the Patriots see what Lamar Jackson and these mobile quarterbacks can do. And they were kind of excited to shape their offense differently and have a guy who can run and have a read option and, you know, have the threat of a run and then, you know, a play action and pass. I think Josh McDaniels and kind of just the offensive side of Belichick are probably intrigued with what they get from Cam. And he's really said everything great from day one. He's been a model teammate. So we'll see how far the Patriots can go. But a good sign after that, even though they lost, good sign long term for the Patriots.
Man, a tried and true Patriots fan right there. You just remind everybody that even though they lost, I mean, he's playing okay, but they still lost. But Cam Newton's the MVP candidate, but they still lost. But Julian Edelman is all that, but they still lost. I get it. You know, that's crazy. But the one thing to keep note of with Cam Newton, Josh, is you know, that offense that he's in. It's designed to simplify the looks for him. So more man-to-man coverages, more opportunity for Cam Newton to throw the ball vertically down the field, and also run up stats from his legs too, the ability to run and score touchdowns. So take a look. I know you said some friends have already looked at the 50-1, now down to 22-1. Maybe a second look there for Cam Newton. More betting across America will continue right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We got to talk about the news and notes from the National Football League, injury concerns for one team that's still on the road, as well as Major League Baseball, maybe some plays and leanings from Josh Applebaum, and also some market updates when the show continues. That's coming up next. September is showtime at BetMGM Sports, and they're offering new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on the Heat versus Celtics game. And if either team hits a three, you win. Just sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this special offer. There's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Heat versus Celtics. And if either team hits a three, you win. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, West Virginia, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back into the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, along with Josh Applebaum. And Josh, this development with the 49ers, it gets worse and worse every day. Dee Ford now out for the year, in addition to some key players right there for that football team. They're on the road. They're unhappy with the playing surface there in New York. They're going to have to play another game in New York with that on their minds. They know that they lost some key players because of that surface. I don't know where that mindset is right now for the 49ers. Your thoughts, Josh?
Yeah, it's tough for San Fran here. Obviously, you run through this list, not just, cluster injuries, but to big name players and big name contributors. So I did see a tweet recently from Adam Schefter. He mentioned that most likely it will be Nick Mullins this weekend. Quote, I mean, I'd be surprised if Jimmy Garoppolo is ready, unquote. So I think you could pencil in Mullins here. And I think, call me crazy, but I'm digging the G-men in this spot. You know, the Giants, this game opened at San Fran -6.5. We saw all these injuries take. And Bosa is the big one you look at, and also Jimmy Garoppolo. But with Mullins in there, this line is now down to 4.5. I'm seeing some books even down to 4. I would really look at a book that's still giving you the hook on the 4.5. A lot of these books are moving. So to me, the Giants only getting about a third of bets. The public is still, you know, loving that San Fran mantra and sticking San Fran despite all these injuries.
Okay.
But yet I think kind of a similar situation where going into Chicago, where you saw the Giants not win but cover that number. I kind of get the same feeling here with the reverse line move in their favor. So you get the 4.5. That's intriguing to me. You're also a dog with a very low total. The total in this game opened 42. It's down to 41. But I lean G-men in this one. But Pritch, what do you think? What's it like when all these players get hurt? Obviously, it opens up opportunities for other players.
It does. But are you as good without those great players? I mean, this is a number of great players. Solomon Thomas, Richard Sherman, Nick Bosa, D. Ford, Mostert, Coleman. You just mentioned Garoppolo. I mean, that's a pretty good percentage of players that are guys that you are certainly going to lean on and be dependent upon, and then certainly ask from a high level of production from. So they're not going to be available. Nick Mullins, interesting story with him. He was a practice squad guy at quarterback. Beathard was backup. But Nick Mullins has come in and he's outplayed. That situation became the backup. He also got Rich Scangarello hired in Denver, Colorado, because of how he played down the stretch when Garoppolo blew out his knee a couple years back. So Nick Mullins, a capable guy, but they're on the road again with their bingo dauber down. And I don't know how they get up for this game. No fans in the stands, too. I mean, the emotional element on the side of San Francisco, I'm kind of worried about that. And then I think the Giants, didn't they just sign a running back? I want to say Devontae Freeman, right?
Yep.
So he should be able to tote the rock a little bit, not to the level of Saquon Barkley, but certainly be impactful for that offense for the G-men.
Totally with you there, Pritch. And again, you look at the Giants and Saquon Barkley. If you just talk about, you know, injuries that the public is going to really, I'm not going to say overvalue, but really, you know, put into their handicapping. Saquon is a big name, massive injury, but I don't think it's as big as kind of these big cluster injuries for San Fran. So maybe it's not as important as the public is making out to me. They did sign Freeman. They have old friend Deion Lewis, who got a million snaps this last game here. Yeah, I did see, again, a lot of these 4.5s are getting scooped up. Giants are down to 4. So if you can still get a 4.5, to me, that is an intriguing play this Sunday.
Yeah, I just saw 4.5. I believe it's out here in Vegas. So definitely shop around when you're looking at that 49ers staying on the road to you. I responded to people on Twitter about what it's like to travel because the Rams are traveling back up to Buffalo after being on the East Coast against Philly. And so I was up in Seattle, and we had to play in Florida. We played the entire state of Florida when we played Miami, Tampa Bay, and Jacksonville 1 year. And that was miserable. To travel from Seattle, Washington to Miami is probably the longest trip you can take in the country. Then you had to repeatedly do that to the state of Florida. I mean, that was exhausting.
No, that's really, really important, and these miles add up. And again, it is true, though. Pritch, didn't San Fran, they're staying in New York, or they're staying, is that true?
They're staying in Virginia, I believe, or West Virginia, one of those areas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe that, you know, mitigates, my first thought anytime I see a West Coast team going east, it's, it's, you know, cross country for 1 o'clock game, your body clock is off. It benefits that, that dog, especially East Coast dog, but maybe it's mitigated a little bit here. You look at, the Rams, that's another situation there where they're going cross country, and that could play into kind of the situation of buying low with the Bills in that one. So again, keep in mind, this travel adds up, and maybe you should be considering these variables when you're betting these games.
Absolutely. And also shop around, like you said, because of the line movement and then also injuries being updated every single day. What else is being updated? I think you have some NBA updates on the Celtics and Heat.
Yeah, so I wanted to jump in here, Pritch. You know, we're getting closer, 8:30 game. We're still, you know, about 3.5 hours away. But mm-hmm. I did see a notable move. A lot of these books that are at 3.5, there was a rare 4 out there, and the market didn't really go to 4. It was mostly 3.5. But now I'm starting to see some books creep down to 3. It's not a consensus, but a couple have dropped down to 3. I think that makes you like the Heat a little bit more, the fact that this line is falling toward the Heat as we get closer to tip-off when limits are raised. So that just kind of tells you, if you're looking at the Heat, I would you're walking a tightrope here, where if you wait too long and it goes to 3 market-wide, that could be a move that happens quickly and the whole market goes to 3. So, again, the Heat, I think if you like them, that hook is critical. So jump on a book if you see kind of what we call a square book still at 4 or 3.5, just a kind of a notable sign that it's moving to the Heat. It's not going further to the Celtics.
And the total staying steady at 212?
212 mostly. Okay. I'm seeing some books. Yeah, 212. There's a couple 212.5. Not much has changed there with that total. It's still continuing to be, in my opinion, a pro and Joe over with a lot of over referees, a lot of rest possibly benefiting offensive play. So it's not like we're seeing a huge buyback with an inflated line falling. It's still showing liability to a higher scoring game.
And that's great to know about the officiating and over preference from the officiating crew there tonight between the Celtics and the Heat. Moving on to baseball, St. Louis and KC. I think you might have a play for us here, Josh.
Yeah, so I'm looking at this late game here. This is a 8 o'clock game. Carlos Martinez, Danny Duffy. This has been a pretty sharp play here toward the St. Louis Cardinals. So if you want to sweat the Cardinals, they opened kind of a very short road favorite. You know, I'm looking at books that open around minus 115, minus 120. It's now up to minus 128. I'm seeing some books get closer to minus 130. So that's really notable to me. Anytime you have a road favorite that becomes more of a favorite, especially in a game where tickets are relatively even, that's a pretty notable move. So looking at the Cardinals here against a KC team, doesn't have much to play for. Cardinals are going for the playoffs. Kind of a short number with St. Louis there.
Okay, and then moving along to when you look at the Rays and the Mets, you've been on the Mets pretty often when we're on the show together. Something about the Mets with you, Josh Applebaum.
Something about the Mets. Yeah, I don't know what it is. My sister lives in Brooklyn, and, you know, we go to Mets games once a year, and I prefer, you know, Mets Stadium to Yankee Stadium a lot. So maybe that's got something to do with it.
But, new owner, too, with the Mets.
Yeah, that's true. New owner. Mm-hmm. Didn't end up being A-Rod and J-Lo, but, you know, we've got some new ownership there. But, Pritch, this is kind of a bit of a longer shot play, but I do like the Mets here tonight. You know, you do see Tampa Bay with Glass now, a big public name, a great young pitcher. And obviously Tampa Bay has one of the best records in baseball. But you saw the Mets steal one last night. Public kind of says Tampa Bay is much better. They have to win tonight. Kind of that gambler's fallacy type thing. Mm-hmm. And Tampa Bay opened around minus 180. This line is plummeting. This line is now down to minus 150, minus 145. I'm seeing a massive move here with a lot of smart money loading up on the New York Mets. It's Waka pitching for the Mets. And you also have a total of about 8.5, a little bit of liability here. It's actually shifting now to the under. But the Mets are a juicy dog. So if you can hit around a plus 140, that would be a nice start to the night.
Looking for that nice start for sure. And also following the money right there, Josh Applebaum, the Market Insights. I want to ask you this question as we close the show, because it's interesting to me. You're a fan of the Celtics, but yet you might have a bet against the team that you're rooting for. What is that like when you have a bet with the Heat and then you're rooting for the Celtics at the same time?
Well, let me tell you something, Pritch. I know we got to get out of here soon, but when I first started betting on sports, born and raised in Massachusetts, my dad raised me to be a Red Sox, Patriots, Bruins, Celts fan. And when I started betting, me and my friends, all from Massachusetts as well, all we would do is bet the Boston teams. And what did I learn? I learned that if you want to be a good sports bettor, you can't have a bias. You can't just bet your favorite teams. You can't bet your home teams. You got to get your bias out of the way. So over the years, you know, I think it's kind of a fearless but disciplined attitude. You know, it's also the fan tax, Pritch. You know, I got the Heat +4 tonight, but if Celtics win, you know, hey, we'll see what happens. Get one or the other. But again, tip. You know, never be a fan of any team. I'm a fan of who's sharp and who's contrarian and who I can beat the closing line with tonight.
Okay. I guess that's the reason why I couldn't bet as a player in the National Football League, right? I mean, that whole thing outside of the FBI maybe knocking on my door.
No, that's so true. And, hey, Pete Rose claims that he only bet on his team to win. Never bet on them to lose. So who knows? That's a whole nother story. But yeah, just take out all bias. Don't bet on your favorite teams just because they're your favorite teams. Bet on them if they're sharp and you feel like you have an edge.
Great advice from Josh Applebaum. That'll do it for us today. Great job, Josh. We'll see you next week. Also, we'll see you on VSiN as well throughout the week. We'll be back tomorrow right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.